This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You want to call the Times Yours line to give the Hammer credit for yet another victory, and a damn impressive one. I know that guy obviously is more of the chump variety than the Hammer variety. But let's be real. I mean, 4 out of 5, as Meatloaf did not say, 4 out of 5 ain't bad. Times Yours, react to beat the Hammer. Times Yours line is 215-238-4500. All right, the Phillies game from last night. There certainly are some things to react to from the game. I mean, the main thing is, the rain delay was so long, it has obviously called into question whether a game like that should, continue after the rain delay.
A nearly three-hour delay is a little much.
2:45 is a lot. Yeah. It really is. I've been saying today the Phillies lost last night. That's actually not accurate. The Phillies lost this morning. They didn't lose last night.
12:54. That's ridiculous.
It was really weird waking up and checking Twitter, and all the beat writers were posting like it was like less than an hour ago. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, well, right.
This thing just ended.
I woke up at 11:30 or 11:11 because Chaney had to go out, and I checked and it said delayed, and I went, oh, okay, then they're not going to play the game.
Oh yeah.
Literally said to myself because it was 11:11. I went, they're not going to play.
Well, let's listen to Rob Thompson talking about the James. This is our eighth piece of audio here, talking about the rain, the delay, the process. Here's Rob Thompson last night.
Is there a reason why you guys agreed, or why the league or someone said you wanted to stick around and try to finish this thing?
That's through MLB.
That you guys were told or you wanted to, or like, what was the...
No, they just said there was a window, so stayed around.
All right, so look, they stay around, they play the game, they lose it. Look,
Doesn't sound like he's super happy about it either.
No.
You
know?
But he's also probably tired. I mean, that's a long process, you know?
Okay.
So, anyway, Phils get back at it against the Cardinals. Last night, story of the game, I mean, they didn't hit. That's basically the story. I mean, other than the rain. No. Rain's the main story of the game. But the second story of the game would be they didn't hit. They scored one run in 11. Well, two runs. They got one in the 11th. But one run in 10 regular – well, one run in 9 innings, let's say. And then you play the extra inning rules and blah, blah, blah. The other thing within the game of note, Boehm was moved out of what I will call the 3-4 hole. Because obviously sometimes he hits 3, sometimes he hits 4. Now, this was one of those right-handed batters who's going to hit 4 night because, you know, this is a Bryce 3 and, you know.
And he still
that
stunk.
Whole thing. He still stunk, yep. And it was Casty,
and
I think
Casty
that's the right
stunk.
Well, he stunk even more because he was 0 for 5 with 5 punch-outs. That's almost impossible.
We know the golden sombrero is 4. Like, what's 5?
I know, platinum.
I've never heard of it.
Look, I'm sure it's happened with Phillies
before. Oh, it's definitely happened, but there's no name for it because it never happens.
I agree with you, James. Let's listen, though, back to Boehm because it is notable after 2 weeks he's out of the 3-4 spot. Rob Thompson talked after the game about Alec Boehm.
You worried all about Boehm's confidence despite hitting it hard? Didn't have results to show for him?
Not really. You know, as long as he's putting good at-bats together and hitting the ball hard, he's going to be fine. He's hit into a lot of tough luck, too, along the way. But he's really played well defensively.
All right. So, I mean, look, Topper's not going to say I don't have confidence in him. Obviously, he has decreased confidence in him. I mean, clearly.
He moved him down in the lineup.
Correct.
Like, yeah. your actions speak louder than words.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
All right, Brandon Marsh has – I can't do it anymore.
I think a lot of people are out on Brandon Marsh. Like, I'm not out on Bohm, but a lot of people are like –
capital O-U-T,
uncompetitive
out.
At bats.
Yeah, no, they are. I
and somebody's always on base.
It's – look – if he is a starter in October, that's a problem. Period, end of story. Period, end of story. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming
up, I don't understand some of the bad habits that we know that these guys have. Like Castellanos with the stuff that's low and away.
Yeah. But he got better at it.
No, I know that he got better at it. And I've never been there, like, trying to discern whether to swing or not. I know I hear it's the hardest thing to do in all of sports, but I keep watching you swing at that low and away stuff when you're not perfectly locked in, and it's infuriating.
Well, of course it is.
It keeps happening. It just, we keep going back to the same things. With Bohm, it's he can't keep his emotions intact.
Control. Here's the problem with Marsh. It's not one thing like that. He's just not good enough.
With Brandon Marsh, you know, we know he cannot hit a left-hander.
Well, we know
and
that.
We know that a righty, it's not that great either.
He's not that good.
He's not a starter in the majors.
He's not. He's a guy who can give he can give a guy a breather maybe. Yeah. You know, like the extra outfielder who could fill in and surprise you with some awesome plays. Yeah, he's not the starter.
James, is Sosa a better player than Brandon Marsh?
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
Oh, yes. I feel incredibly
confident
about that.
So can we do something about that from an outfield perspective, then? Can he move right in there?
Well, the problem is someone has to play center field, and you don't want Kepler playing center, and I don't think you want Sosa playing center. So it gets – I think they got to make a move at some point during this. Well, obviously Crawford at some point. I guess that's the thing. All right. Something Mayock said about Howie Roseman as a draft competitor. Interesting audio from yesterday with Spike and Ike and Jack when they had Mayock on the show. We'll get to that shortly. Let's go to the phones. If you're just tuning in, a lot on the Phillies from last night. Also on the Eagles as we get close to the draft. But we're doing a lot looking back at the Eagles, of course, having won a Super Bowl 2 months and 2 days ago. That feeling, both with the game and the season. And then also looking ahead, knowing that it's the second time for all of us as fans that we embark on the next season, knowing that our squad had just won a Super Bowl. It's a beautiful feeling. How would you kind of sum it up? Let's get to Chris in Ocean City. Chris, good morning.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Good morning.
Chris.
Perfect topic for today. And I must say, I'm having a sense of unreality about the whole notion of moving forward and draft prep. And listening to Elliot, he just does such a fantastic job with all of his daily pods and giving us the information on the players. But I'm kind of reluctant to dive into it because I don't want to let go of this feeling and this special group of players. It's so rare that you experience things in life that exceed your expectations, especially if it's something that you care about as much as the Eagles, as we all have since we were little kids. And I just have such a sense of wonder and awe about what happened, and it makes me feel like a little kid, that I don't want to let that go. So, like, even when you guys were just talking about Bohm moving down in the lineup, it's like I just don't have any room to have consternation about anything right now, and I'm just curious, like, just from, like, a sociological perspective of how long that's going to last. Because
until the Eagles lose their first game next season, I would say.
Probably.
Or maybe their second or third. Like, maybe the first one.
I don't think it's the first.
But I don't think it's the first. I think it's if things start getting a little shaky as you go.
And
now,
so
of course, it won't be if they lose the second or third and they're 8-3. Then that's different. But, you know, one thing that stood out in 2018, they got to 5-7. That's a bad record. Now, they came out of that hole, obviously, as Foles saved the season. But, excuse me, that was the year they were 6-7. I think 2019, I think, was the one they were 5-7. Point is, if things start going seemingly off the rails like that, then, you know, people aren't going to be happy.
Well, I have a question on that line of inquiry to John. So, John, for a number of years, you were big into the whole Halfrey conspiracy, and there was a lot of enmity towards those two individuals.
Yeah.
How much would have to happen before you were critical of those two again?
Jeez. Well, it feels as though all of that has been deftly handled by the front office to where Howie and Jeffrey, we know that they we've watched the video of them on draft day discussing these guys. It really is trickling down all the way from the top. I mean, Jeffrey,
he's
the start of all the information.
I don't think that's right. How is the start of the information? But Jeffrey's involved.
Well, Howie is the linchpin for all of it. The thing that makes it all work. Yeah. He matriculates that information up to Jeffrey so that he has all of it. They can discuss every single one of these guys. They know every one of them, even the owner, which I think is impressive.
Now, that may be more first round I would get. Like, John, do I think Lurie has opinions on six rounders? Probably not.
And I think that he has discussed the fact that he is a delegator. He's willing to, he accepts his role with all of that. But his interest is such that he loves the game and he does the research. He knows a lot about these guys, which I think is fascinating. There are some owners out there, like our, the owner of our basketball team, who probably have a lot less interest in the individuals.
Chris, I'll say this, because obviously people were critical of the heavy-handedness of Howie and Lurie as it relates to some things that other organizations put in the purview of the head coach, like sometimes selecting coordinators. But it works.
That's the
with
thing.
This team, it works.
You can't argue with the results. I was mad. I was mad at the picture of our owner walking across the field at the Senior Bowl. Like, what is he doing? He's the owner of the team. He's not a coach or a scout. Well, he loves football. Yeah. And by the way, the fact that he is so immersed, it makes us so much better. He is the best owner in the game, and we should be thanking our lucky stars.
You don't think Jerry Jones a better owner than Jeffrey? Hey, Chris, give me an answer, pal. What would you change? You can win the Phillies tickets.
Yeah, you have to do a pretest for the Beat the Hammer like they do on Jeopardy. We can't keep having these tomato cans. You were bragging and gloating. Ruined my mood while I was on hold.
It's a good one for today. Hey, I like that, Chris. These are the important things that we need to change in this world.
That's pretty good. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, Mayock, talking about Howie as a draft competitor. Also, positions that are strengths within this draft up ahead. And if you don't know, of course, Sixers are totally going to miss the playoffs. We know that. They're going to have the fifth best odds to get the number one pick. But we also have wondered, what are the Sixers' chances of keeping their pick? I have that data. Percentage chance that the Sixers keep the pick and don't get jumped by two teams and fall out of the top six, which, of course, would make that pick go to OKC. What that percentage is, we'll tell you next. Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie on that from Borgata on 94 WIP.
And of course, NAS are the letters that spell. All
right, great to be with you on this Friday morning. Joe DeCameron and John Ritchie. 94 WIP from Borgata, our home base every Friday. We're going to get to more audio this segment of Mike Mayock talking about Howie and talking about the draft. Got a lot to do, frankly. What we're not going to do is what that guy did in the Masters yesterday, and that's go to the bathroom not in the bathroom. I still can't believe that happened. And the fact that, like, Rhea, it's a 21-year-old. Like, show some respect. Like,
college student.
You're an amateur that's been given the opportunity, and granted, I guess he's earned it, but you've been given the opportunity to compete in the Masters, and you're on the 13th hole and you have to go to the bathroom. You don't bother to walk to the bathroom.
Well, you don't bother to ask somebody. I find that with young kids, they would rather just not ask anybody because they feel too weird. Just ask.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you're a college student at like the biggest, most revered golf course. And you're doing that. It's so bad.
It really
His
is.
His mother must be mortified.
I just find it. I mean, I'm stunned he wasn't thrown out of the competition. Yeah. I don't. Maybe this has happened before. I don't know. But I just found it so weird.
Well, they have a great sense of humor at the Masters.
Right, exactly. All right. So good morning to you. A lot today. So some on the Phils last night. It went really, really, really long. But also a lot on the Eagles today. Both looking ahead. Draft in 2 weeks. Season obviously in a few months. But also looking back, Super Bowl season. You know, there was so much that went on, and we kind of haven't revisited it in, it feels like about a month and a half. So we were asking you today, with the Super Bowl in the rear view and the whole season in the rear view, you know, what hits you when you reflect back on it now that it's been 2 months and 2 days since the game, and obviously, you know, a bunch of months since, you know, September, October, November, December, and the whole journey. Pride hits me, obviously. Appreciation hits me, obviously. Those are two biggies. Appreciation for Lori and Howie as the two main figures in the organization year to year to year to year to year, right? Decade to decade at this point. I mean, Lori and Howie became the first duo since the Flyers ownership duo and GM duo back in the 70s to win two championships in Philly. I mean, think about that. They're the first in 50 years to win two as an owner and a GM. It's pretty cool. Obviously, great appreciation and respect for Sirianni and Hertz. I one thing that I'll always be struck by with the season is how closely aligned they were, not certainly in personality. They were aligned in purpose and focus, but they were also aligned in similar journeys of being doubted. I mean, Hertz, of course, publicly, his doubt goes all the way back to college when he got benched and he transferred the whole deal. But Sirianni was more obscure in his move up the ranks, if you will. But, I mean, John, the early Sirianni story here, from the initial press conference to the guy throwing flowers, you know, at his feet. I mean, it was, you know, even,
yeah, it was
even
bad.
In October.
Like, it was deserved. He deserved to get it bad from us. I'm surprised at people, like, let's be honest. There are people like you who really don't believe that this team is as good as they are now moving forward.
Are or were?
I mean, are now. And they're just a fraction of what they're going to be. But this team that is a broken, just a shell right now of what they need to be, because they're not complete, this team is going to be so good. This team is going to be complete eventually. You know, it'll be by the end of the season.
Well, they might not be complete. I mean, it's hard to have everything every year. And they had it last year, but most teams don't.
You're right.
Including most Howie teams.
It's not perfect even when it looks as good as it did last season. It's not going to be perfect.
I mean, 2 years ago,
it's
Howie
It's going to be great. And it's going to be as great as the greatest. We are the best team in football because we just won the World Championship.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's going to happen again.
I expect that we can go right back and do that. I don't think it'll be easy.
It's a tall order,
I think that you don't believe it as strongly as I do.
Well, you're right about that.
I think
guilty as charged.
I think that you expect failure, and I don't.
Well, losing in the divisional round, is that failure? Like, let me put it this way. With the harder schedule, what I believe will certainly be less talent.
10 playoff teams they're
facing.
Yeah,
and likely more injuries. Likely. You know, it's entirely possible Eagles get to the playoffs with a 12-5 record, don't have the one seed, and lose in the divisional round. That could happen.
Sure.
Is that failure? I mean, I don't know if it's failure,
but it's not being as good. I expect that this team can go and win the whole thing again this year, the next year, the year after that. Maybe we miss this
four
year.
In a row.
Maybe we hit next
we're
year.
We're jumping
maybe
over
we
three in a row. We're doing four in a row. I like that.
I'm telling you, the capability because of
– oh, boy.
Howfrey, the question came up because of the way that our owner and our GM manage all of this. We are that good, and we will be that good.
Well, look,
when it all comes down,
everyone's got a shot to weigh in on the look back and the look ahead, and the convergence of my team just won a Super Bowl, and I'm really happy about it. And there's another season coming. Devin, what's top of mind for you?
With the Eagles?
Yeah, with this whole thing.
I mean, I think something our previous caller said really resonated with me, and that's that I don't want the high to come down, right? Like, I'm still trying to relish in everything that went down and the way that they won. Like, there is something to be said for the Eagles winning both of their recent Super Bowls against Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, like two of the best quarterbacks in the game. And I know that it's inevitable. It's going to come down. I just hope that this next season, I don't want to be negative here, but I am a little bit apprehensive just knowing how much talent, especially on defense, the Eagles have lost. I don't want them to take a step back the way that they have
that part,
following the previous Super Bowls that they played in, whether they win or lost.
The talent loss on defense, it does feel like that is less a worry for me than the too big in our britches. I can't believe the last time after 2017 when everything fell apart and we were not focused the way the team should have been. Like at training camp when we're there.
Wait,
and
which season are you talking about?
He's saying 18.
2017
to 2018. Doug comes out with a book in August. That was a mistake.
It got so far away. But even Howie, remember Howie felt like he was like, you know, smarmy Howie and you know.
Smarmy.
No, he got a little full. The way he would present things in interviews.
Ourselves
included. Well, and
that's
what I mean when earlier in the show I said, I hope they stay grounded.
Yes.
I think that obviously you should enjoy winning the Super Bowl. It's the Super Bowl. Like, it's an incredible
accomplishment. See, I agree with you. I hope they stay grounded. But my greater concern between the two is talent loss will hurt them more than they get
100%.
They've lost a lot.
I mean, like, we just can't gloss over that. And I'm
because we don't even know if N'Kobe Dean's going to play.
He probably won't play.
And they
until
lost
November.
The guy that was behind him. And they, you know,
yeah. So I mean, my concern with them
lots
is
of inside linebackers too, though.
And remember,
we didn't value that position at all.
Well, they might be back.
We got an All-Pro inside linebacker.
Well, that's true.
Holding down the fort.
Bond. James, what hits you in this whole thing?
It's the love affair between like a team and a town that you get to kind of move on with. Like Jalen Hurts, for example, we've spent so much time like asking, who is this guy? Will you show us some emotion? You know, does he smile? All this stuff. And then getting to see this guy win the Super Bowl and hearing him talk the night before and hearing him, seeing him in the parade and the joy and the picture of him sitting with the Lombardi and the cigar. Like,
that was cool.
It was so cool. Yeah, and I feel like I have a whole new connection with this team that I love. I loved him last year. I loved the run. I was so into it. But now I feel like I have a whole new relationship with you. Like Cooper DeJean, that guy had a picture. Six in the freaking Super Bowl. Like, I have a whole new attachment to him, to all these guys. I think it's just, it's awesome to feel this way about this team and have a chance to watch them come back and try and do it.
Well, look, obviously for everyone listening right now, you can tell we're going in a lot of directions with our answers, both looking back and looking ahead. What hits you? Knowing that the Eagles won the Super Bowl 2 months ago, have another season coming up in a few months, draft in 2 weeks, then the OTAs, then a six-week break, then training camp, then a season. Put it all together. What are you thinking? What are you feeling about the fact that the Eagles have their second Super Bowl in their back pocket and it happened that way? 215-592-9494 from Borgata today. Let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone doing?
Awesome, Ed.
John, I mean, my morning just took a big turn for the better when I tuned in and I heard you saying, I got passion in my pants.
Like, that's quite a line. And,
my morning improved when John said the Eagles are going to win 4 straight Super Bowls. But no, he didn't really say that, but he alluded to that possibility. Anyway, Ed, I'm joking. Yeah. Go ahead, man.
By the way,
you know why that guy said he's got passion in his pants? Because he works out. Like me.
Yeah.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
So, all right, go ahead, man.
I'm really glad that I went to sleep before the rain delay came, so I didn't have to watch the last three Castellanos strikeouts. And I know it's just one game, and he's been doing a lot better this year. But I just don't know why pitchers ever go inside on that guy. I
mean, yeah.
He will not lay off a low and away slider. And when he's not guessing right, he could be – like epically bad. But hopefully this is, you know, it's a less alarming, it's not a trend, it's less alarming than what Boehm is or isn't doing. You know, Bryce Harper's kind of turning things around, but when he was like, you know, first week or so of the season, even though he wasn't, you know, hitting for power, he was still getting on base, and you know, Alec Boehm's doing none of that, and he's wearing his emotions on his sleeves in a very counterproductive way. So, I mean, I'm really pulling for the guy personally, but I don't think we can, this can't continue for much longer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting thing I'll say, Ed, because I think it can.
Yeah, I think it will.
Very unlikely that he gets traded in April or May, maybe June. So I actually think it will continue for a while if he struggles. I mean, you got to remember, they just tried to trade him in a whole offseason, and they couldn't, in part because they didn't want to dump him for cents on the dollar. Presumably, it would now be fewer cents on the dollar. I just don't think.
So what if he doesn't offer over the weekend? I mean, at some point, you got to make a decision to just put him on the bench.
Well,
for
that's
a
somewhat different thing, and maybe, Ed, that's what you're alluding to. But do I expect Sosa to replace Alec Bohm as the starter? No,
I don't either
at all. Like at all. And I don't think he should. But listen, if you get to May 15th and Bohm stinks that bad, then maybe Sosa becomes the starter. But I think that's a long shot.
Yeah, I mean,
Ed, give me an answer, pal. What's something you would change? Maybe it's Alec Bohm out, but what would you change?
This one's for Elliott Shore Parks. So I would put retractable roofs over both the Link and Citizens Bank Park.
I like that.
You know what? You don't get to celebrate Saquon's touchdown. That is such a bad answer. Could you imagine a roof over Citizens?
Like, right, like the Link.
On.
I mean, retractable. I guess I could live with a retractable, but Citizens Bank Park. No.
What are we doing?
No, you don't play baseball inside.
That's so dumb. All right. I mean, I'm not one to call.
No for the Link, yes for Citizens Bank Park. Retractable.
So you would retract it over the ballpark?
Yeah, retractable. You would leave it open when it's nice, and when it's not, close it.
No, I don't like that. Baseball's got to be outside.
Yeah, I'm no on both. Just enough. I don't need that nonsense. All right, I'll tell you what I do need. I need help.
We know that, Joe. This is not in.
Correct.
Yes.
So I'm holding here in front of me a People magazine.
Sure are.
Latest edition. Mm-hmm. And it's got someone on the cover named Kelsey or Kelsia, however you say her name.
Kelsey.
Okay, Kelsey Ballerini.
Ballerini.
Ballerini. I love how, Devin, you're on this. All right, you guys. So you apparently know who she is.
Come
I don't.
Come on, man. Everyone knows Kelsey Ballerini.
Who is
how you say that.
I know. I've never heard of her.
She's a country singer.
Never heard of her. All right, here's my point. And, Devin, you and I talked about this about 2 years ago. We never really launched this, but this is something we kind of batted around on the show a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I could use help with knowing who people like this are. Like, this week on our show, a couple times, you guys got on my case for my references to, like, Clark Gable. If
yeah,
you
it's okay. A little dated.
Right,
Beaver, you know, leave it to Beaver.
Leave it to Beaver,
yeah.
Right.
Yes.
All right, so, and John, you say never try to improve. I'm going to try to improve.
Well, it's good that you have the People magazine.
Correct.
You can explore the current crop
here's,
of stars.
Here's what I'd like to do. On an annual basis, Friday to Friday, not annual, weekly, Friday to Friday. Devin, you probably is the ringleader because you probably know the most about these younger stars.
Mm-hmm.
But, John, you've heard, you know this Kelsey person. I don't know. James, you know more. And Ray, okay, like, I want you guys to give me an assignment, and you can pick it every Friday.
Ooh.
One person.
Ooh.
That's a famous person on a Friday. And by the next Friday, I'm not going to do a freaking term paper, okay? There's only so much work I'm going to give myself. But I will come armed by the next week with insight. Here's the key. Here's the key so I can remember who the person is.
I love this.
And if we do this through the end of the summer, we'll have about 20 weeks until the end of the summer, roughly. And hopefully that's 20 people. Like Hemsworth? What's the guy's name?
Chris Hemsworth.
Okay,
but there's two of them.
Liam.
Okay, yeah, I don't, Chris is probably, you're talking about Thor,
also,
I'm assuming, right?
I don't know.
James, that's the thing. I don't know what I'm talking about. I know there's a guy named Chris Hemsworth. Like,
and his brother who was married to Miley Cyrus.
See, I didn't know there were two brothers. I had
Hemsworth.
No idea that. All right.
And they have an older brother.
Okay. Yeah, but he's not famous. He's not as famous. He was on Westworld.
I want you guys decide right now.
So we get to assign you someone right now?
You get to assign me a celebrity. And I'll come in with enough by the following Friday to say, I got this person, and I'm not going to forget him.
Ariana Grande.
Fine.
Oh,
I do
good
know she's a singer.
She's and an actress now.
She's huge right now, though.
Okay.
Yeah, she's big.
Huge.
My daughter knows who Ariana Grande is, Joe.
All I know about her is she's music, and isn't she the one where the bomb blew up?
That
in Manchester.
Yes.
Yep. And she was just in Wicked.
And she's in Wicked, yeah.
See, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I will dig in. Ariana
nominated
Grande.
For an Oscar.
Didn't know that.
There you go.
Okay. I will do my research because we do have to bring me up to the 21st century. I mean, it's getting ridiculous. All right. So we'll see.
I like this.
We'll see on Friday.
I'm proud of you, Joe.
Thank you. I'm trying.
Starts working out, and now he just wants to be like a new man.
Well, I saw this.
Changed man.
Saw this Kelsey Ballerina on the picture.
Well, you can research her while you're at it, too.
I'll tell you what, given this picture, I think I will. All right, 215. It's a little risque for People Magazine, John.
A little bit.
Little. The bottom's almost.
She have pants on?
I don't
Does not
so.
Appear so.
That's why I'm saying.
Pantsless on People.
All right, yeah. So I was a little surprised there. All right, let's also get to the Twitter poll question of the day from the 7 o'clock hour. We got to close that poll out. So the 7 o'clock hour poll, and of course all our polls, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin Chevy, your Corvette headquarters. Have you dreamt about owning a Corvette? Now is the time. Visit ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. 7 o'clock hour poll. Which of these was the most memorable split? So, the four choices, and this goes back to yesterday when we couldn't figure out what should win. What would you guys choose between? Well, actually, let's just move it ahead. John, what do you think won between the 38th parallel, that's North and South Korea split, Babe Ruth and the Red Sox, Brad and Angelina, or the Atom?
Man. I mean, I think the Atom seems so gigantic. Destructive.
Do you think it won?
No.
John doubts the historical relevancy of WIP listeners.
It's not going to be Brangelina. What was one before Brangelina?
Babe and Red Sox.
But maybe it's that.
Okay. It's the Atom.
It is
55%.
Okay.
55% the Atom. It's the only one that can end the world. You know, if you have
that was the correct choice.
I think
there,
I underestimated the voting.
Yeah.
Man.
What do you think? Really, what do you think? Our audience is dumb?
No.
You're calling people dumb.
No, but I thought maybe people would be like upset with the Atom. You know what
well,
I mean?
That's
like
true.
Upset with the concept, so they wouldn't go with that.
Yeah, freaking Oppenheimer. What's the guy doing? 55% the Atom, 24% Babe, 12% Brad and Angelina, 9% the South Korea, North Korea situation. So.
Wow.
We get to our final poll semifinal, which this hour will be the same question. Which of these was the most memorable split? Is it the colonies from Britain?
I love
is
that
it,
one.
Yeah. Donovan McNabb and Tio, friendship, relationship, teammates, that whole thing. Princess Di and Charles.
That's good, too.
Lady Di and Charles.
Chuck.
Or the Liberty Bell.
Oh, man.
Very different like choice. Different times.
These are really good. Like, yeah. These are four bangers.
I know. All right, so in the finals for the 9 o'clock hour is the Berlin Wall and the Atom, and we'll see which one joins them.
Oh, man. I don't know that this is going to be any easier.
It's not easy.
I can't pick between Berlin Wall, Atom, and then this one, Liberty Belt. Like, these four are impossible to choose for this last hour.
It's a lot. It's a lot, so we'll see where the results go. All right, speaking of results, we'll know, let's see, what are we in April here? I guess we'll know in 2 months whether the Sixers keep their pick or not. We know they're, you know, fifth worst record in basketball, that whole deal helps them keep the pick, but it doesn't guarantee that they will. They have to be in the top six when the lottery is over. Put another way, the Sixers either need to jump in the top three or stay five or six, not have two teams beneath them jump them. And the Sixers not get into the top three to keep their pick. All right, I have the percentage in front of me. Now, we know these percentages have changed in recent years. After the Sixers' last tanking era, the NBA changed the percentages on ping pong balls. So they weighted it a little bit less to the top and a little bit more further down the line, a little bit. I've got the number in front of me. It's just everyone take a guess. You guys take a guess. What do you think? And I got to credit Mike Angelina. He's the one that looked this up. What do you think the percentage chance is that the Sixers keep their pick? It means they will pick 1, 2, 3, 5, or 6. They're the five spots the Sixers could pick. What percentage chance do you think the Sixers keep their pick? Who wants to take a stab?
I'll take a stab.
All right, James, go ahead.
73%.
Okay.
What? That's higher than I'd guess.
Okay. Devin?
I'm negative, so and I'm not good at math. I'm just going to say, like, 33%.
Okay, John?
I have no clue.
Nobody like, listening
no
knows this.
Idea.
That's why we're doing this exercise
54.
Live on the air.
54.
Okay, Rhea?
I'll go 60%.
Rhea definitely wins the prize. Wow. She is closest. The answer is 63.9%.
Wow.
Wow. which I was a little disappointed. That's a little low for my life.
I was telling you, Joe. You kept being like, they're definitely going to keep the pick. I was like, I think the percents are not as high as you are.
Because they give the teams at the bottom a better chance now.
They've got better chances now. Because
they don't want to incentivize tanking for the teams that just flat out tank. So the team that has like the ninth best chance to get it, which is not normally a great chance, has a better chance than they did a decade ago. 63.9, that's basically two-thirds.
And with the Sixers' luck, I mean, you know,
lock it in. And that's why I was like, this is like,
congratulations
knowing the Sixers,
on losing
I can't
the
go
pick.
Positive.
I was surprised though, and disappointed to see the numbers. I thought it would be somewhere in the 70s or 80s. I really did. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's listen to Mike Mayock talking about Howie Roseman, and then we'll get right back to the phones, because Mayock talked yesterday, great interview with Spike and Ike and Jack on that Spike and Ike show. Is that what we call it, the Spike and Ike show?
Yes, that's what we call it.
All right, I'll deal with Fritz another time. All right, I take enough shots.
Jack Fritz here.
Yeah, Fritz, relax, all right? Mayock with those guys, all jokes aside, with those guys, talking about Howie as a draft competitor. This is good stuff.
What's it like to deal with Howie? Have you had much interaction with him in that way?
He's really good, and he and I go back a lot of years, man. And his reputation early in his career was kind of like, be careful. He's smarter than the rest of us. And he's going to try and win every trade. And I think as time has evolved, number one, he is the smartest amongst all of us. And number two, what I loved about him is when you got him on the phone, he was trying proactively to make a deal. Like he wasn't trying to shoot down. If you had an original idea that he hadn't thought of, he'd take a step back and go, you know what, that might make some sense. Let me talk to Jeffrey. I'll call you right back. Or he might say, hey, Mike, have you thought about it this way? Can we get it done? And in the, what year was it? 21, we were getting close to the trade deadline, and he and I were working on a potential deal that didn't happen. But I love dealing with him because it didn't matter if you called him at 2 in the morning or 9 at night or whatever, he was proactively trying to get a deal done as opposed to just trying to shoot stuff down. And I've got a lot of respect for him for everything he does in that building.
Yeah, I think respect's the word. I mean, that sums up what I was interpreting Mayock was saying, was respect.
Well, that sounds awesome. Yeah. But, yeah, I thought it was really interesting the way that he phrased some of those things, saying that Howie, at the beginning, they thought he was smarter than the rest of us. The way that he phrased it, Howie was an outsider from the get-go. Jeffrey and Howie were outsiders because of the way that they were, you know, coming in as the smart guys. You know, the analytics-based
group. The non-football guys.
Non-football guys.
That, and Mike Mayock is basically laying that out there. There is a difference. There was a difference that everyone noticed, and some people had major problems with it. I had some problems.
Well, I'll give you
my brain around.
John, I'll
give
you an example of something. So Mayock said there's about 2 seconds in there that if the Eagles had come off a 4-13 season instead of a 14-3 season, the world would have flipped out. Hang on. I'm going to talk to Lori. I got to talk to Jeffrey. Like, could you imagine after 2020?
Right.
You know, like, James, you know how different the react? Because right now people are like, oh, no problem. No big deal at all.
Yeah.
But 4 or 5 years ago, after 2020, James, people would have freaked.
Of course. Yeah. Context matters.
And John would have been the number one freaker.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. But obviously, look, Howie is he's a gem for Philadelphia sports. I mean, he really is. Tom in Abington. Tom, good morning.
Yo, gang. How are we doing this morning?
Super, Tom.
Yo, Tom.
Hey, you know, the Philadelphia second rounders could have all of the lottery picks this year. Won't make a difference in the world.
Well, look,
I don't know about that. If they have all of them.
Here's what I'll say, Tom. Let's forget that ridiculous potential and not potential analogy. Let's say the Sixers get the number one pick and get Cooper Flagg. Uh-huh. It's going to feel so weird because you should be excited about someone who can be a generational talent. But then you're still going to have this lingering stink. Well, like, I don't know that there's any comparison ever in Philadelphia sports to that. I don't know what that would represent.
They're just a loser organization. So the afternoon show, John Fritz with his top five at five yesterday totally took you guys apart. I don't know if you caught wind of this.
No.
Now, typically I find it entertaining, but then they fired shots even at you, Rhea, and that I have an issue with.
Oh, do tell.
Well, I just play it back. I mean, it goes
on. You
got to
tell us a little bit. I mean, give us a little bit of a sense.
Well, they're playing clips about you guys talking about fried chicken and how ridiculous you guys sound. I mean, it just went on and on.
Because we like fried chicken?
Well,
and it was about how we were saying, like, where did fried chicken go? And they were like, fried chicken's still here.
No, it's not on menus as much as it used to be. It's not.
Yeah,
no, well, definitely not.
No, it's definitely not. Mean,
there's very few restaurants I go to where you can order fried chicken.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
No question.
They did have a good point where, you know, the fried chicken craze sandwich during the pandemic did just happen a couple years ago.
Don't know that one.
Popeyes?
Yeah, that was Popeyes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so they had a point there. But
yeah, but I also wouldn't call Popeyes a restaurant. That's fast food.
I mean, it's still fried chicken.
No, I understand that, but I was specifically referencing that back in the day, you could walk into a restaurant.
It used to be on menus.
In restaurants.
100%.
Sit-down restaurants. Waiter restaurants.
Tom, we can't help it that the people in the afternoon are just not as cultured as Joe and I.
Ah, there we go. See, this is what I was looking for, Rhea.
Look at you stirring it up, Tom, courtesy of Rhea stirring it up. All right, Tom, give me a point on the Phils. What do you got?
Yeah. The Phillies, I don't know. I had them at 92 wins and losing to the Dodgers in the NLCS at the beginning of the year, but I don't even know if they're going to make it that far. This team is so flawed in my eyes. Alec Bohm is a problem. What generation is he from?
He's like on
29.
The edge. Yeah, he's on the edge of young millennial or whatever the Gen Z or whatever.
No, he is a baby boomer.
Not bad. That was not bad.
It seems like whoever they put in the cleanup spot struggles, except for Kyle Schwarber. So I would put Kyle Schwarber in the cleanup and just leave him there.
Well, it's an option, but then you'd have Trey leading off every day, which Schwarber's good at both spots.
What do we do with Baby Bummer, though?
Well, that's the thing. If Schwarber can actually do it, maybe it does make the most sense.
Maybe.
He's the only one who can really pull it off.
Every time, I mean, Castellanos striking out five times last night. I mean, he was having a good start to the year.
Well, hold on. We got a flaw in this argument. That means the guy that bats four that you don't believe in has to bat three.
I'm sorry, what's that?
So your argument's flawed. What you're saying is whoever bats four stinks behind Bryce. But what I'm saying is the guy that bats four behind Bryce will be batting three behind Bryce.
Yeah, one way or the other, you got Bomer Castellanos. Unless you're going to bring Romuto up, but he stinks when he's up there too.
Yeah, you're not bumping four to five. You're bumping four to three. So who's that guy?
Just put Schwarber in four, I'm saying.
Who's batting three? Castellanos or Bohm?
I don't know, one of them, but they'll do
four. What's the difference then? Who cares if it's three or four?
Tom, I kind of got you there, man. You got trapped. All right, Tom, give me an answer. Other than your dumb call, what would you change?
I would change the Hammers workout regimen because you're going to get your ass handed to you to keep this up.
Nice recovery.
Not a bad recovery.
Yeah. Tom is the best.
That was solid. Anthony, New Jersey. Anthony, good morning.
Oh, my man Joe, what's going on, man?
Tom, Anthony, I've been in the gym, Anthony. You'd be very proud of me yesterday. 30 minutes of cardio.
Joe, I was listening, man, Joe. I'm proud of you, man.
Thank you.
1%, Joe, 1%.
I don't do that 1% better every day thing. Because believe me when I tell you, having come from nothing for months, probably 2 years, I got a lot better than 1% yesterday, at least with my output. Now, body, it's going to take some time. You know, it's going to take some time to change. But I had a big percentage jump yesterday.
Hey, Joe, whatever it is, I'm just proud of you, man. Because when you're slacking, I'm going to give you your ass. But, you know, when you're showing improvement and you're trying, man, so I'm going to give you your flowers, Joe.
Thank you.
Keep it up, man.
Thank you, Anthony.
You know how you just flaunted around after the Hammer win? Good win, by the way. I want you to do that times 10. When you take Fritz down, Joe.
Correct.
I want you to do that, man.
Correct.
Listen, Anthony, this is a call that warms my heart.
Because, Anthony, so many people come after me on this show. Yeah, co-hosts, callers. I appreciate the support. I want you to know that.
Hey, Hey, man. Hey, Joe, you're a great guy, man.
Thank you.
I appreciate you.
All right, can we rein this in a little bit? Morning, yeah.
It's a little much.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, man. Come on, Jimmy. You my guy, too.
I know, man. You're my man.
Hey, Jimmy, we got to motivate Joe.
No, you're right. You're right.
All of you guys is on the line here.
Like, I guarantee yesterday when Joe was working out, he thought about your calls at one point, Anthony. Like, I guarantee you played
No, but I'll tell you what I did think of. I thought of, I might quit this. All right, Anthony, fantastic call as always, buddy. We appreciate it. I'll tell you what, something a lot of people did not appreciate was that rain delay yesterday. Went on for a long time. Let's listen to Rob Thompson talking about the rain, the delay, the process. There was a lot going on.
Is there a reason why you guys agreed or... by the league, or someone said you wanted to stick around and try to finish this thing?
That's, through MLB.
You guys were told, or you wanted to, or like, what was the...
No, they just said there was a window, so stayed around.
You know, the last game of the series obviously complicates it. Now, the Phillies will be back in Atlanta. We know that. It's early in the season. It's a division team. They'll play them again. But, you know, last game of a series, that was a... Look, I think it's the right call to keep pushing for that. If it had gone another...
For almost 3 hours?
45 more minutes, you got to shut it down. But I know. So, Ree, you think they should have called it?
Yeah, I mean, that was just too long. It was ridiculous. 245. Especially, you got a team now. I don't know. I was just looking up. So, Atlanta's flying. So, neither of them had very long road trips. So, Atlanta's at Tampa. Phillies are at St. Louis. But they're going to be getting in at like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's no sleep. You're screwing with your product the following weekend.
And the Phillies don't have an off day till April 24th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
James, remind me on this one, because I always get this confused. If they say, okay, that's it, and they pick it up another day, do they pick it up in the middle of the game or start over?
So in that case, a 1-1 game at that point, they would pick it. They would suspend the game. So
what
like
does that
the
mean?
That means they suspend would pick it up in like the 8th inning or the 7th, 6th inning, whatever it was. They would pick it up in the spot that the game ended.
Well, they could have done that the next time they're in town.
Absolutely could have.
Yeah. And that is how sometimes a player will play for both teams in a game.
Yes.
I mean, it happens. It happens like 5 times a year with teams. You know, this is something that does happen.
No, but not the player playing at both.
No. I'm talking about the suspending game thing. Like, that happens throughout the year.
It's not outrageous.
You'll see it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, look, they pushed ahead. Unfortunately, Phils took the L. 215-592-9494. Coming up, what Mayock said, Mike Mayock, on the strengths of this draft. We'll get to that. Also, drop of the week. We'll have some fun with that. And a lot of calls in the 9 o'clock hours. We broadcast from Borgata today. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP.